Romans chapter 7. Now, I'm really going to do my best to hurry tonight. I know you don't believe me, and I don't blame you, but I really am working on it. So let's read here. We're going to start in Romans chapter 7 now, and this is a real important chapter. And, you know, as I've been studying about this, you got to listen and think with me, or you'll just be bored, and you won't get anything out of it, and you really need to understand this. This is stuff that you really need to have it down, you know, in here and in here. You need to understand this, because this is an area where there's the most confusion about anything in doctrine, and it's so important to have this right. You get this right, you'll be right. You'll be able to see clearly other things that are going to be confusing to you if you don't get this and understand it. And I'm going to do my best to try to explain it in a way where you can see what the Bible is really saying about the law and about grace and about sin and the life in our life after we're saved and all that. All right, let's read verses 1 through 6, Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should know, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, the Bible is consistent, and he's saying the same things here that we've been talking about concerning the law and grace and being under the law, not under the law, but under grace and all of that. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs. What a blessing. Good to hear everybody sing. Good to listen and think on these words of these songs. Thank you. Thank you for the Word of God now. Pray you'd help us. This is the place in the Bible where so many have greatly erred. And please help us not to err here, Lord. Please give us clarity of thought and speech tonight. Please give us clarity of mind and attentiveness of heart so we can hear what the Spirit says to us as we learn about these important scriptures and these important doctrines here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, this is a continuation of the truth that he's been stressing in chapters 5 and 6, that salvation changes the basic things that control and guide your life. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. You know, we've talked and talked about it, how we were the servants of sin, but now we're the servants of righteousness. We yielded our members as servants of unrighteousness unto sin, but now we yield our members unto righteousness. We yield them to God. And we use our body for the glory of God instead of to please ourselves. Sin is pleasing ourselves. It's the insistence upon our own rights, our own desires. And so we've been through all that. This here is an illustration. It changes who is the Lord of your life. Salvation, when you get saved, the Lord of your life changes. Jesus is the Lord of your life. He's the King. And you come under His dominion. It changes the laws or rules which govern your life. When you get saved, you live by different law, different rules. You see, before you're saved, you live according to your righteousness. So what you do, what you think's right, what you want to do, and you justify it no matter what. But after you're saved, you come under the law of God. Yeah. His law is what matters to you then. And His Spirit living in you guides you into all truth. So you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Up until that time, you're living in deceit and lies. You're deceived. You're blind in this world by your sin. It changes your identity, who you are and who you belong to. Right? Now, those things change when a person gets saved. Who's the Lord of your life? Who's the most important in your life? The Lord, after you're saved. Before you're saved, it's you. It changes the laws or rules which govern your life, and it changes your identity. Now, this here is simply an illustration, what we just read, to try to show how things change in the life of a person when he gets saved. Now, a woman who is married belongs to her husband and is not at liberty to be joined to another man. She's his. And the same is true of the husband to the wife. It's a mutual thing there. She's not just his property. He's her property too. The Bible says his body's not his, it's hers. And her body's not hers, it's his. That's the deal about marriage. It's a mutual giving over to one another. Yeah. In all things. Yeah, all things. Not just the one matter. A woman who's married belongs to her husband and is not at liberty to be joined to another man. That's what the law says here. The law, we know, you know, that the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. And she's given herself to her husband and has been joined to him as one flesh. As Adam said of Eve, she is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23. Adam said that. First man that ever had a wife, and the first wife that ever had a husband, that's what he said about her. She's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She's part of me. She is an actual part of him, his body, his soul. That's why God says, therefore what God hath joined together. The twain become one flesh. It's a thing that can't be undone. It's like we was telling the other day, Gary, you can't undo it, you know, like some people's telling you that. You know, that ain't how it is. Marriage is a union forever. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. But if he's dead, if her husband is dead, she's no longer joined to him and is free to marry another without being guilty of doing anything wrong. When he dies, she's free. Get that? What are we talking about here? What's the subject? What's the whole issue we're dealing with here? Sin. The old man, the new man, salvation, the new life, the old life. If he's dead, she's free to marry another. If he's not dead, she's not free to marry another. Y'all listening to me? You can't serve God and mammon. You can't love the world and love God. If you love the world, love of God's not in you. Love of the Father's not in you. Can't do that. You understand? You can't have the old man and the new man. The old man's got to be dead before you can have a new man. Can't have them both. You try to, you're an adulteress. That's right. If he's dead, she's free. His life and his existence make the difference in whether what she does is right or wrong. Now, the law referred to here in these verses is not only the law of God, but all law. He's not speaking specifically of the law of God here. The law of God does teach this and command this and say this, that the husband and wife are one and all that, but we know that by the law, see, it's not just God's law, it's all law. A woman's bound by the law to her husband, not just God's law, but man's law also. Yes, sir. If you get married, then the law looks at you as being married. And so there's responsibility there. That's how come you get married and have kids, and then the man bails and runs. They'll hunt him down and make him pay. He's responsible for his children. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now you just shack, and they have a lot harder time doing that to you. We was talking about that last night, you know, some of these people that just shack up, and one of them said, to somebody last night said that one of them had told them, said, you know, well, it's just a lot easier if you split up if you're not married. So you're planning on splitting up then when you're shacking, see? No commitment, no promise. Very dumb, if you ask me, of a woman, very dumb of a man. I don't understand that at all. That just goes against the very nature of it all. You know, that ain't the whole, thing is different than, they must look at it completely different than we did when I was young. I mean, if you find somebody you love and you want to marry them, it just, nothing else would do. You know, you gotta be mine. Has anybody else ever felt that way? Of course. You're just looking at this adulterous generation that don't understand things like that. She's bound to her husband. But if he's dead, no longer. If she disregards this law, she'll be called an adulteress. The husband's not the law. That's not the law. You understand? Now stay with me. The husband's not the law. He is who the woman has given herself to. But he is identified by the law. This is important, see? And I'm going to hurry and get through this, but listen to me. The law identifies her husband and the responsibility. Her husband isn't the law. That'll matter here in a minute. The husband is not the law. He's the one the woman has given her most intimate self to, but his rights are identified and protected by the law, because of their mutual commitment. Now we need to consider again the law of God in this light then, and what we've already learned in the previous chapters. The law of God has identified our sin and identified us as sinners. Remember that sin might abound. The law entered that sin might abound. Remember what we talked about that and said about that. It identified the law. It identified sin and sinners. The law does. By the law of God, we've submitted ourselves to sin, identified ourselves with sin, and therefore are the servants of sin. So the law of God makes clear the fact that we're bound to our sin, and it is what we live for and serve. Just as the law makes clear that a woman is bound to her husband because of her commitment to him and what she has surrendered to him. Now, y'all, are you with me so far? You see what he's saying here. He gave that illustration of a husband and a wife and how she's bound to her husband because of the law. The law says. The law says that she's bound to her husband as long as he lives. She can't be married to somebody else. You know, unless he's dead. All right, now the law of God is simply facts stated as they are. Facts about the character of God. Facts about the sinfulness of man. And the law has the effect of exposing sin and revealing its ugliness in the sight of God. Romans 5:20 we read, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And if you remember and you listened, what we talked about there, that it was that the law reveals sin and exposes it. Romans 3, verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So that's what the law does. That's its function. That's its operation. It exposes sin, identifies it. The law is light on the dark deeds of people. Thou shalt not. And you do it anyway, boy, you're condemned under the law. Romans 7, verse 13. We haven't got there yet, but I'm jumping ahead to read it. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. He says that a lot in Romans, don't he? Because people are going to misunderstand these things, and they're going to do just what we've seen everybody do and what we're watching them do. Shall we continue in sin? They say, sure. Bible says, God forbid. Shall we sin that grace may abound? No. But everybody else says, yeah. And then things like this. Was then that which is good made death unto me? He's talking about the law. The law is good, the Bible says. Was it made death unto me? No, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So you see, moreover the law entered, that the offense might abound. You see why? So that sin might appear, might become exceedingly sinful. We talked about that, you know, until you're faced with the law, you don't think you're doing too bad. I mean, it just works that way. Everybody can go out here and do all kinds of dirty deeds. Come into the church and we preach on the three little pigs or something and you not mention nothing about it, and you can walk right out here feeling fine for what you're doing. But you break the law of God and do immorality and then come into church and somebody preaches on it and reads it to you out of the Bible and hammers it into the ground, you're going to go away feeling, oh my. You're going to see the ugliness of your sin when the light is shined on it. The light of the law is shined on it. There's, you know, this is no design of God to increase sin, but simply reveals more clearly the wickedness of sin. That's why the law entered. So the law of God establishes who man is, who he belongs to, and where his heart's affections lie very clearly. The law identifies who the woman's husband is and identifies her responsibilities to him. And so the law of God does the same thing with us. All right, the law of God will never pass away or be done away with. This is not what that means. You know, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, where it says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, the law of God's not done away with. Neither does it mean that we're no longer obligated to obey the moral law of God. But it means being dead to the law. That ain't what that means. It does mean that we who are married to Christ are no longer identified by the law as sinners and enemies of God. The law doesn't condemn you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We ain't got there yet. That's Romans 8, verse 1. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The modern versions leave that last part off there. There's no condemnation. Why? Well, we're dead to the law. That's how come we're not under the law. The law don't identify the children of God who've been born again, who are married to Christ, doesn't identify them as sinners and sinful anymore. That's what it means to not be under the law, but under grace. But you can't be out from under the law as long as that old man is still alive. Like everybody says he is. You know, that old nature, that old man, still there, still fighting. And the only thing you can do is feed the good nature and starve that old nature. And that's about the only way you can get any hope of any kind of maybe winning once in a while. No, it's totally contrary to what the Bible's teaching here. You can't be married to two at once. If you try that, if you say you are, you're a spiritual adulterer. That's right. Can't do that. If her husband's dead, then she's free to be married to another. And if she's married to another, she'll not be called an adulteress if her husband is dead. If her husband's alive, she shall be called an adulteress. So there has to be a death. Now we've talked and talked and talked about that. Dead to sin. What does that mean? Crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means just exactly what it says. And it means exactly what we've been talking about. And here in Romans chapter 7, which is the pillar of all of this inability and all of this modern idea of this sin and religion, here's the pillar of it, Romans chapter 7. And it starts out teaching us the exact same thing that we've read in Romans chapter 6, that we're going to read in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 5. All of this is just building on the same truths. The old man's dead, new man's risen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Can't have them both. Being a Christian is not something you just add on to your rotten, sorry life. It has to be done away with. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And that has to be a reality in your experience. Not just a story you've heard that you agree with, that you consent to. The law will stand forever, and the judgment of sinners will be based upon the law of God. It's not gone. Not one jot or tittle is going to pass from the law. Jesus said so. And so when sinners stand before God, the law is going to do its job, just like it does now. It's going to condemn them. It is written, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You broke it. You defied that. You denied that. You ignored that. The law condemns you. You didn't repent. You didn't obtain forgiveness. Those sins were never atoned for because you would not accept it. You would not come. You would not repent. You would not believe. So the law condemns. Who's out from under the law? Those who are new creatures in Christ only. That's right. Better be careful about that, claiming that old man. Better be careful about excusing your sin because of that old man. I've told this story before, but there was a guy who got caught stealing one time. I read about this and said he got before the judge, and the judge says, what have you got to say for yourself? And he said, well, judge, he said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I've got this old nature. And he said, the old man that lives in me, he's the one that stole it. And the new man would never go along with that. But you know, it's this thing that we've got. The Bible talks about it. When I would do good, evil is present with me. And so that's what happened. I just got in the flesh. Judge says, well, since there's an old man and a new man here, he said, I'm going to give each one of them 6 months in jail. How about that? Yeah. How do you like that? You think God's going to judge us according to that nonsense? No. Every man will give account of himself to God. I'm not two people. I'm one. I'm a body, soul, and spirit. And that's how I'm going to give account to God. So is everybody else. All right, the law will stand forever. The only hope for a sinner is to be freed from the law, which has identified him as a sinner and is bound and bound to condemnation. You can be free. Yeah. You can be free. You can be dead to the law. You can get rid of the condemnation that the law has for you. Why does the law condemn you? Because you're a sinner. Because you love yourself. Because you love this world. Because you got to have your own way. Because you demand your rights. Because you demand explanations for everything, all these questions you have in your mind and heart. Can't be free that way. You got to lay it all down. Surrender. Come to God. Come to Christ. Humbly. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law. Verse 2. This is the key right there. If the one with whom she is united and has given her most intimate self to is dead, then she's no longer bound to him. There's no closer relationship than that. I mean, And it's, you know, what we're talking about here, he's comparing that to our old life and our old love and our old secret things. Yeah. Yeah, y'all understanding this, though. Before you're saved, you got those secret places. Yes, you do. And, oh well. If sin and self has been conquered and crucified in the life of a person, then the law can no longer condemn them and identify them as sinners and enemies of God. Now, you see how that changes this whole picture of salvation? I believe this with all of my soul, that you do not live in habitual, continual sin after you're saved. People that are saved do not do that. You do not live that way. No, sir. And the Bible is completely on my side in that. And I can go anywhere I want to looking, and I don't find any opposing view in the Bible. All I find opposing it is people and preachers and Baptists and everybody else who hang on and cling to their sin and religion. You know, it's abominable to me that anybody, let alone a preacher or a pastor, would take the part of sin. Defend it. Stand in defense of sin. In any way. Make excuse for it. Justify it in any way. But they do. They'll do it in a heartbeat. Man, you're on the wrong side. If sin itself has been conquered and crucified in our life, in the life of a person, then the law can't condemn us and identify us as sinners. Now, if it's not, if it hasn't, then the law does condemn us. So what are you going to do with that first verse in Romans chapter 8 where it says there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus? How are you going to deal with that? That's a stated fact. Huh? Now you live in habitual, continual sin and claim to be a Christian. Man, you just got all kinds of problems with the Word of God. Now you can find churches to go to, they'll embrace you and they'll pat you on the back and you'll just, it's just like, you know, they'll call you brother and they'll back you all the way. But when you go to reading the Bible, you're going to have problems. So what do they do? Don't read the Bible. Just enjoy the fellowship. This is the gospel message. And you should be able to see how it's been watered down and distorted in our day. And this is what it means to be not under the law, but under grace. That's what it means, not to be under the law. It doesn't identify us anymore. Don't you see how that flies in the face of the testimony that everybody gives now? I'm just a sinner. I'm no more than a sinner. I saw just a little snip last night, was it? Or whenever it was. Maybe this morning. I don't know. That's about it. But it was a Christian comedian. He's a Baptist preacher. But he goes around to churches entertaining people with comedy and stuff. And I thought, boy, that's a bunch of junk. And so I listened to him for a minute. You know how long it took before he said, I'm just a sinner, like the rest of you? No, it wasn't even 30 seconds. You know, 15, 20 seconds into it, he said, you know, I'm just a sinner just like all the rest of you. You ever thought what that would sound like in the presence of Jesus with the wounds in his hands and the wounds in his side? And you say, I'm just a sinner. He saved me. Yeah, but I'm still a sinner. Don't sound very good, does it? No, sir. That's what it means not be under the law. You can see how they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness by distorting the meaning and understanding of not under the law. Now, when they think, and modern people, I mean, most everybody now, when they hear that phrase, not under the law, what is the impression in their mind? What's the thought in their mind? I can do anything. You got no right to judge me. Because I'm not under the law. I don't know how you could be so foolish to believe that way, but they do. They got a completely wrong idea of what the law is about and what it does. They think it's shackles or something, and they're free from it. I guess that's why everybody thinks they're free to divorce and remarry and do whatever they want to. Or shack. I guess that's why everybody believes that way too, huh? Not under the law. Free. We got liberty. Christian liberty. To do whatever we want to. Because we're not under the law, you know. We're not under the law. You see how they've completely missed it? What does it mean to not be under the law? It means that you have become a new creature in the law when it does not condemn you anymore. Do you keep the commandments of God? Oh, nobody can keep the commandments of God. We sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And nobody can keep the commandments of God. Would you please show me that in the Bible somewhere where it says that we can't keep God's commandments? I can show you where it says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. I can show you all over the place where God commanded things, and he doesn't command things that we cannot do. God's just. He don't tell us to do something and with the penalty of death upon it when we can't do it, and it's impossible for us to do it. But that's modern religion, see? Poisoned with Calvinism. Which says inability, you can't repent, you can't believe, you can't have faith, you can't do nothing. God has to do it all for you, and you're just a passive observer. No, no. No wonder they think that way. All right, found my place here. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Verse 4. If a person is not dead to sin, they're still under the law and not under grace. Now, did you hear what I said? Because that is the way, that's what the Bible's teaching us here. If you're not dead to sin, then you're still under the law. So go ahead and claim to be a sinner. You're condemning yourself. You're not under grace if you're still a sinner and you're proud of it and claim it and won't turn loose of it and you're so sure of it and you boast about it and you defend it with all the strength and zeal you can muster and look for allies everywhere to back you in it. If you're not dead to sin, you're not under grace. Grace teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. Now, grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is greater than all our sin. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Don't tell me that it's not so. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the word. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. Man, don't tell me it ain't possible. Don't tell me it ain't so. Don't tell me we're all just sunk. I mean, as far as this life is, I mean, it's miserable and hopeless and we can't help it and we can't stop it. And if we try, we end up doing bad. Don't tell me that. We're in Romans chapter 7 right here. Say, well, that's what it says. Well, just wait. Very plain. There's no confusion in my mind about Romans chapter 7 and all that it implies. If a person's not dead to sin, they're still under the law and not under grace. The old man must die and be buried. Old things must pass away. If we claim to be married to Christ while our previous love is still alive and active in our life, we're identified by the law as adulterers. By the body of Christ, this is the means by which we are freed from the law. You see what the verse said there? Wherefore, brethren, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. All right, here's some verses to back that up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. In his flesh, the enmity. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God incarnate, the flesh, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. If you're listening to me and thinking with me, these verses will ring a bell in you, I'm telling you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You get it? You're also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. That means made alive, risen alive, made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. But see what happened in our life that made it possible for him to do that. We became dead to sin and alive unto him. It all happened at the same time. Now, what in the world is wrong with these Baptist preachers now that say you don't have to repent because repentance is a work? You just come to Jesus like you are in your sin, and he'll deal with you about that eventually. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. They don't know what it is to be forgiven themselves. That's what I think. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, you see the order? That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin. Now, you ain't got no part with him if you're not dead to sin. So how can you keep claiming to be a sinner? How can you keep claiming that you continually sin? You can't. And be in agreement with the Word of God. There ain't no way. Christ fulfilled the law, and if we become his and are made one with him, then the law has no claim against us, because our life is his, and the life we now have is his. He made in himself of twain one new man. He made in himself of twain one new man. We're made one with him. The law ain't going to condemn Christ. If you're in him, man, you're safe. Saved and safe. And yet, but you got to be in him. And you can't be in him. You can't be married to him. You can't be made one with him. That's what marriage is. You can't be made one with him if you still got your sin. And you still got your love. Your ex still shacking with you. Still coming to see you once in a while. You can't. It's an exclusive relationship. You're his. You belong to him. He bought you with his blood. You belong to him. If we're in Christ, we are married to another. The wife, see, she can be married to another if he's dead. She can be married to another and she's not being called an adulteress. But he's got to be dead. Right? That's what the law teaches us. That's what the law says. If we're in Christ, we're married to another and no longer under the condemnation of the law, because the law couldn't condemn. The law could condemn what we were, but it cannot condemn what we are now. Oh, this is abomination to everybody I know. This modern religion, sin and religion hates this. They think I'm crazy. They think I'm preaching heresy. And I'm preaching the truth.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I've read quite a bit. Now, go back through history and read the preachers that everybody's heard of You know, like Finney we were talking about the other day, because this modern bunch don't like Finney too much. But John Wesley, you know, they call us sinless perfection, which we're not. But John Wesley was. He believed it. I mean, the whole hog, boy. He believed the whole deal. And we were talking the other night, and I've thought about this for years. He went back after he really got born again. He went back to his home church where his dad was a deacon. And he preached to those people, and they ran him off and tried to kill him. They tried to stone him. The church people tried to stone him in the church where he grew up, where his father was a deacon. They tried to kill him. What did he say to him to make him so mad? You got any idea what he expounded to them that upset them to the point that they were ready to murder him? Reckon it was anything like this? I do. I know exactly how it was. That's exactly what he told them. And he brought the law, the heavy hand of the law upon them, because they were doing just like everybody's doing right now, claiming to be a Christian and living in sin and defending it and standing for it and fighting against the truth. That's why they killed the Lord himself. That's why they killed the prophets. It's always been the same theme all down through the millennia. It has. Abel was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Righteous Abel died. Why? Because his deeds were righteous and his brothers were evil. Who killed him? His evil brother. Yeah, that's the way it always is. And that's the way it is right now. And that's why people hate and despise this. They would love it if they'd just really get born again. If they'd really just look at the truth and agree with it and believe it. We have a new identity and are governed by a new law and authority, different than that which has always ruled us and bound our life. We have a new husband. All men have always considered the law to be the only way to be reconciled to God. They all claim to be a good person. And all men have always tried to do that. You know, they at some point in their life, that's the way it is. You know, they all attempt to run over or turn over a new leaf and start keeping the moral law of God and living by it. And men have always tried to do this. But this is the blindness and darkness that the world is in. You can't just do that. That ain't what I'm preaching here either. You have to come to know Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You know, this ain't about turning over a new leaf. It ain't about resolving to obey the law of God. That ain't how you get out from under the law. The only way you get out from under the law is by faith in Christ. That's right. We're saved by grace through faith. It's God's influence on us and our hearing of the word, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the Spirit of God dealing with us, striving with us. The light shines in and breaks through, and we know the truth. And the truth makes us free. Free. And if the truth shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He didn't come to take away. He came to give us life. But the old man has to die. This is like the illustration that Paul gives here in Romans chapter 7 in the first part, the husband and his wife. Let me read verse 4 here. It says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Let me read verses 5 and 6. For when we were in the flesh, this is a key thing, and we'll be back on this, but can you tell me what he's talking about there? I mean, this is the key to understanding Romans chapter 7. Verse 5, he immediately starts talking about the past. He's not talking about right now. For when we were in the flesh, But see, the modern Christians say they're still in the flesh. Right. And Paul's saying when we were in the flesh. Right. He's consistent because in Romans chapter 8 he says you are not in the flesh.
Exactly.
So if you think the flesh is your physical body, you got another problem there. There's a difference. When we were in the flesh, Paul's not dead yet. He's not out of his body yet. He's in his body while he's writing these words. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That's verses 5 and 6, Romans chapter 7. The coming of Christ didn't change anything in God's way of doing things as far as salvation is concerned. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The law was never a means of atonement for sin. Never. Christ has always been the atonement for men's sins. The sacrifices that the law prescribed and everything were pictures and types and shadows and pointing to the Lamb of God. They did it every year, and it could never take away their sin. The Bible says so in Hebrews. Couldn't take it away. But now, oh yes. But now, he says, it does. The Lamb of God takes away our sin. It's not covered by the blood. Don't use that phrase. It's not biblical. You're not covered by the blood. No. You're washed by the blood. Get that? Now that's what the New Testament says. Washed. Yeah. Not covered. Now the Old Testament, they talked about covering their sins. But not in a sense of hiding them, but the way they atoned for their sins was a covering. You know, it just put it off and postponed it, and it never took them away, and they had to come every year again. But not now, because Jesus has always been the atonement for men's sins. The entering in of the law was God's design to hasten men to the Savior. The coming of Christ was the full revelation for all of heaven and earth to see God's plan of redemption for sinful men. Christ, we have a better covenant. We have better sacrifices. Everything's better. And the book of Hebrews talks about the way it is now. It's not, you know, Christ has come. The Savior has come. He changes men's lives now. Should have got those verses out of Hebrews so I could have read them. But I mean, the entering in of a better hope did. Better hope, yes, sir.
Yes.
We got it now. We're not shadows and types and all of that. It's the real thing. Christ. He's our life. He makes all things new. Yeah. Sin's been dealt with by God in person, in the flesh. And it makes all the difference. Does it remove the possibility, the opportunity for us to sin? Well, no. Not as long as we're in this world. We're going to be tempted, yes. But you don't have to sin. With every temptation, there's a way of escape. And you sure as the world ain't going to live habitually, continually in sin. No, sir. You can't do that. You can't be a child of God and do that. My, my. I mean, they were in the church at Corinth. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. And he said, for this cause many sleep. You know, some sleep. They're, you know what he's talking about? God took them away. They died because of it. God killed them. But he won't kill you for adultery and drunkenness and thieving and lying and hating and all the rest of the sins. People think now sodomites can, you can be a sodomite and still be saved on your way to heaven. Messed up. But he messed up. This is the way it is. You can't be married to Christ until you're dead to the law. That old one's got to go before there can be a new one. All right, let's stand. Yes, sir. I'm going to get done in less time. I did. I made it in a little less time. But I tried to hurry, you see. Think about these things. You know, I hope you understood what I was trying to teach you here tonight. Hope you can get it in your mind how it is. Go back and read it. Think about it. Study it yourself. The simple little illustration that he gave. And then ran it right alongside and showed us how it is. You don't have two natures. No. Not at the same time. Yeah. And if you're going to have the same nature you were born with, if you don't get born again and become a partaker of the divine nature, you'll die lost. Amen. All right, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd help us to understand it right. Please make this clear. Wish I could do better. I wish I could make it clear and explain it in a better way to where it'd be more understandable. Please help everybody to study on their own and search their scriptures to see if these things be so. Bless the Word to our heart now. We love you. Thank you for what you've done for us and for giving light in Jesus' name.